spoke last week about the principle of the cross Sunday morning, and then Brother Hunt did a great job. We had great service. And then this morning, really talking about the practice of the cross and an understanding and a recognition that how do we put the cross into our practice, into our lives? Because it's not enough, and I say it kindly, I say it unashamedly, but I want you to understand that the cross was it was horrific. It was a public execution. It was not something that you say, oh boy, this is a nice gold thing that I put around my neck, or like I said, a tattoo, or come to a building that has a fine steeple and enter into air-conditioned doors and heated places and nice soft seats and carpet, and we talk about the cross. But in fact, the early church and what spread Christianity was indeed the practice of the cross, if you will. And I know that ability to say, you know, I don't know how to put this into my daily life. And that's where we looked at this morning, just things that we would say are able to do and that we are recognizing as issues. My iPad is not going to the remote, so sorry, I'll have to rely on you. Let's go to slide 20, where we finished there on Mark, how that, there it is, there it clicked in, thank you. You know, and I didn't show you this morning, but the fact is, the more you carry your cross, and whatever that is, and the Holy Ghost has got to, that's why the Spirit of the Lord needs to talk to us, and we, you know, and deal with us and convict us, because you know, most things that you are going to be faced with in life are going to require a certain amount of level of commitment, a certain level of stick-to-itiveness or whatever, whether it's to finish a degree, whether it's to get married and have a home, and whether it's to work at some businesses. It requires at times doing things that you don't necessarily want to do, doing things that you don't necessarily feel like you want to do. And I mentioned this morning what Brother Galone had said about playing here and the coach telling them, you either talk about championships or you act like a champion. And that means getting up early, and that means going into the field house, and that means all of those things. Brother Bill Spires mentioned, you know, they used to say, well, you know, you can either talk the walk or walk the talk, which I guess is a good way of saying it, because it requires a level of I'm committed to this. I'm gonna work at it. I'm gonna, which may mean at times doing things that I don't necessarily, it's not my necessarily will, and I have to crucify the flesh. And if you're gonna have a child, let me just tell you, it's you're gonna have a few nights where you get up late at night, and you're gonna have a few days where you change diapers that you don't want to change. And I always get tickled, you know, whenever I see, well, you know, it's your turn. Here, will you hold her a minute? I think she needs to be changed. And all that goes back and forth. And, you know, and it's like you see, you know, that, oh, do you love them? Yes. Do you want to be around them? Yes. But are they a burden at times? Yes. Well, Christianity, Jesus is no different than that. There are times when he confronts my attitude and my thinking and the way I act and the way I talk to someone and how I show love and do I do good. And I know we laud people like Mother Teresa, who would go and give her life and work around the very indigent and poor, and to be around and to be willing to set up a care center. And people amazingly, you know, go, wow. But let me just tell you, I get it. And I've traveled and gone on missions trips. And I talked about missionaries this morning. But there is... If you say, well, I'm not going to do missions and I'm not going to be a Mother Teresa, but you're going to have to face a cross every day. Amen. That's what Jesus was saying when he says, unless you deny yourself and take up your cross daily, you cannot be my disciple. So I don't know what that cross will be. That's why I said, you know, maybe it is, well, I'm going to one day, you know, go to wherever and I'm going to be involved in a missions program, or I'm going to go to whatever it is, or I'm going to be willing to give my life. But let me tell you, you cannot avoid the cross by saying, I'm not going to go on a missions trip. In fact, maybe I'm out on a limb, but sometimes I think it's harder to take up your cross daily here, where there's a lot of distractions, than if I were to go, okay, well, I'm going to go to El Salvador because I know I'm there for one purpose. And you see what I'm saying? Either a missions program is supporting me, or church is supporting me, or people are, you understand? But to get up daily and be confronted, and my flesh, I don't want my flesh to be confronted. Amen. To get up daily and have to face, you know, wow, here's my cross. And yet Jesus was very, you say, well, why would you even want to do that? Jesus was very clear when he says, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You will never have rest unless you have a spiritual emphasis in your life. That's the rest that you enter into. That's what we talk about the Holy Ghost being the rest. And I read you verses about the rest and labor to enter into the rest. But what the Lord was basically saying is, you're working at your life, and there is a place where you can enter into his presence and for a moment open up and let his spirit flow. And it begins to give you a rest to your mind, a rest to everything. And then he goes on to say, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Now we know what that is. That means yoking up with somebody, and like two animals in a yoke, or oxen, or whatever it is. For I am what? Meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls, for my yoke is. We are living in a world that is in a perpetual rat race, if you will. And they try to quickly jump into rest. I'm going to jump into a quick vacation for 2 days or 3 days. I'll go to Disney. I'll go to wherever. Or if I can't get all those days off, if I can't finagle 3 days off, what I'll do is I'll go get something that'll knock me out for tonight. I'll get 1 day of rest. I'll have my relaxation. I want to tell you, ultimately, none of those things will produce the rest that the Spirit of the Lord will produce in your soul. You will find yourself trying to figure out how to pay for that vacation. You'll find yourself, oh, you say, well, it's all, you know, this is where I am, and I get it. I understand. This is why Paul told Timothy. Let me read it to you in his second book, and this is where Timothy was afraid Timothy had fear. This is the book that Paul wrote when he said, don't forget about the Holy Ghost that was put on you with the laying on of hands and all of this. And he tells Timothy in the second chapter of Timothy, he says, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel, wherein I suffer trouble as an evil doer, even unto bonds. But the word of God is not bound. Therefore, I endure all things for the elect's sake, that they may also obtain the salvation which is in Christ Jesus with eternal glory. It is a faithful saying, for if we be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will deny us. If we believe not, yet he abides faithful, and he cannot deny himself. What are you saying? And I know when you look at that, it looks a little, you know, convoluted maybe in the King James English. But basically what he was saying is, I want you to understand. You know who you were. We were enemies that were reconciled unto God. And I get it that here we are, that we were, now we have to be dead. We have to die in that way in order to live. This is why Jesus would say things like, except a grain of wheat fall into the ground and die, it cannot produce fruit. And so when you think in terms of, I have to be willing to die. I have to be willing to die to my will. I have to be willing to die to what I want. And I have to all of a sudden put a whole new perspective, a whole new goal, a whole new something in my life. But that's true if you're going to be married, if you're going to have a child, if you're going to be a doctor, a lawyer, a butcher, a baker, you got to say, I got to put that as my focus. That's my goal. Well, I want to tell you, living for Jesus is no different. In fact, it's even greater than that. This is the practice of the cross, is that I let the Holy Ghost tell me, uh-oh, you know what? I'm suffering. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to love them. I don't want to like them. Wait a minute. It's not about my will. But thy will be done, Lord. And you say, but how can you say that? Paul wrote it to Romans. He said, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man some would die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, I'll like you if you like me, and we can play that dance. And I realize parents don't, you know, but okay, I'll raise you for 18 years, and then I want you to be nice to me for the rest of your life. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. I get it. You can't do it with strings attached, right? It has to be, okay, I'm doing this because I love. Hopefully you love your children, your family enough that you just do it because it's the right thing to do. That's how the Lord was with us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. When we were unlovable, when we were had nothing, and yet he says more often now, being justified by his blood, we are saved from wrath through him. If for when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. The cross that I'm trying to, you know, I don't want to avoid is what reminds me that one day he loved me and he died for me. And because of how his great love, how could I not go through what I'm going through? How can I try, how can I in good conscience avoid this? Paul went on, and back, if you go back in Romans to the third chapter, when he says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Verse 25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past. What do you say? I just read you the Romans, the fifth chapter, where it says, we are saved from wrath. That's to come. That blood is why, when I read the book of Revelation, when I see what's going on in current events, I feel comfortable in knowing that because of the cross, I'm protected from that because of what God did. Because of the cross, I'm able to say, you know what? He loves me so much. Not only Paul talked about it, the future in chapter 5, but in chapter 3, he went back to the past and he said, in chapter 3, he said, to declare his righteousness for the sins that are, my Lord, not only do I have something to thank the Lord for the cross about what it's keeping me from, but what it did for me in the past. And you say, well, I don't want to crucify my flesh. I don't want to get too loud about this, but Paul wrote into the Hebrews, when you go back and avoid the cross, you actually, it's like you're crucifying him
all over again.
Pastor, don't do that. Don't say that. Why? Because when he tries to cross me, he's trying to keep me out of something in down the road. I can't tell you how many people would tell you, you can go to the courthouse, you can go to the jail, and they go, well, I got started. I didn't think I would end up here. But I wouldn't let anybody cross me here. And it brought me to the wrath, if you want to call it the wrath, maybe the judgment, whatever word you want to put, the consequences.
Yeah.
And so, but thank God, the cross is able to save me from that. It's able to wash me from my past. That's why he said, through the forbearance of God, for the remission of sins that are past, to declare, I say at this time, his righteousness. Because line up here, I'm passing out tickets. I'll show you how you can change your past. Wouldn't that be great? You can change what you did. Remember that stock you almost bought that you, remember that stock you did buy that you should, huh? Wouldn't that be awesome if there was a program that we could change our past? Wouldn't you like to undo some stuff? Redo some stuff? That's what the cross brings us.
Amen.
The power. Oh, how can I not thank God? This I put it in the King James Version because his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him that believeth in Jesus. Let me read it to you in the Amplified Classic, because you may understand the English, the language a little better. He says, all are justified and made upright in right standing with God freely and gratuitously, all by his grace, his unmerited favor and mercy, through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward before the eyes of all as a mercy seat and a propitiation by his blood, the cleansing and life-giving sacrifice of atonement and reconciliation to be received through faith. This was to show God's righteousness. Because in his divine forbearance, he had ignored and passed over former sins without punishment. Why is God so lenient? Why does God let people go? Why does God not stop them? Because he's trying to get the cross in their life so that they can get it all put under the blood. Oh, what a privilege. I don't know why God doesn't get them. Why don't we zap them? I'd be quick on the zap button. Huh? And yet, why is God letting them go? Because of his divine forbearance. He knows that if you will just stop when you reach a point to go, you know what, Lord, I need your cleansing blood. I am there with enough mercy to go all the way back. I am able to take care of yesterday, last month, last year, 5 years ago. I am able to completely give you a new identity in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, he calls it, you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. So not just does the cross take care of the future, but the cross takes care of all that stuff that's in there. And you say, well, I can't get over it. You don't know what happened to me. You don't know what I've done. Oh, come to the cross. Yeah. Come to the cross. Let there be a cross in your life. Now he goes on to say, it was to demonstrate and prove at the present time that he himself, it's not about how righteous I am. My righteousness is like filthy rags, but it's about his righteousness. And that he justifies and accepts as righteous him who has true faith in Jesus. Amen. Wow. You say, I don't know. I don't know what I can do to get. Let me go on. I know my time. It's 6 o'clock. Third chapter, being justified freely. Oh, sorry, I read that one. 1 John, the first chapter, the 9th verse. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us from our sins and to cleanse us. I am so thankful that not only does the cross go forward, not only does it go backwards, but it goes to today. Amen. I need his forgiveness and mercy. Amen. Today. If we say we haven't sinned, you've crucified him again. Amen. Because you've made him a liar. That's right. And his word is not in you. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter, and I'm quickly going to try to, I got just a couple slides, I'm going to wrap it up. Hebrews, the 2nd chapter and the 14th verse. For as much then as children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also likewise himself took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject unto bondage. What do you say? You don't have anything to fear because of the cross. Romans, the sixth chapter, God forbid, how shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Are you saying you can just sin without? No, that's why the cross is to cross us to say, stop this, don't do this, don't, that attitude was wrong, this was bad. Let the cross work in your life every day. If the cross isn't working, you're headed off the cliff. If nothing ever confronts you, if nothing ever talks to your spirit and heart and mind and say, oh, well, that's not right.
That's right.
You say, well, I'm better than that one. I'm better than this one. It's not about that. It's about the cross in my life, the practice of the cross. And it says here, know ye not that so many of us were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? When you went down in Jesus' name, you were identifying with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus.
Yes.
He said, therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death. That as like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should walk. We should walk.
Amen. Amen.
Something's supposed to happen.
Yes.
Christianity is not just another club. It's not just something you go to on, you know, once a month. And, well, I pay my dues. And, great, but it's supposed to change my life. Let me read this next one and then I'm through. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For the will is present with me. My will is always there. And the Lord is always trying to cross me. Maybe he doesn't use you. Maybe you're just perfect. But I'm telling you, he's crossing me all the time. But how to perform that which is good, I don't find. Go on. Next slide. It's Galatians, and I'm going to stop here because it's a different word, and I've tried to figure it out in the Greek, and I'm stumped, and I'll just show it to you because Paul said to the Galatians, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, and I would have written in the Son of God. But Paul wrote it, the faith of the Son of God. So when I am overwhelmed and I don't think I have faith anymore, I can go to the cross and say, Lord, fill me back up. I live this life not by faith in him, but by his faith. Because he had the faith to believe as he was led down the streets of Jerusalem and going to be placed on a cross, that somebody is going to come and let this blood wash their past, set them free from the future, and cleanse their life. He had faith. I have no faith that I can make it, but because of his faith, I say, Lord, you love me. You gave yourself. How can I not let your cross impact my life? How can I not practice the cross? It's not my faith in him. I'm hooking on to his faith. That's why one writer says we are able to come boldly into the throne of grace and find mercy. Oh, what a privilege. Oh, what a privilege. Oh, what a privilege. You say, oh God, I don't know.